7 weeks from today is the Feast of Trumpets that starts the fall festival season. I want to revisit a section of scripture that I generally read at this time of the year, but I haven't done it for the last several years. And I said, I got to do it this time around because of so much that is going on. In the King James Version of the Bible, this section is known as the Songs of Degrees. In other translations, it is known as the Songs of Ascents, A-S-C-E-N-T-S. I'm referring to Psalm 120 to 134, 15 songs in all. So I'm going to give an overview today because they bring out a meaningful message for this time and this season of the year. Without a doubt, we're going through a lot. And it is necessary that we begin to gain the focus on this fall festival season like, I won't say ever before, but definitely we need to be focusing on the meaning of these festivals. First of all, a little bit of background. Spend some time with the background because I'm going to be going through the Psalms themselves in the future. Go to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34. There's a little agreement on the exact meaning of what the title is all about. Is it degrees or is it ascents? Most will agree that the Hebrew means to go up. To go up. But what does that mean? What does that mean? One of the common interpretations is that these songs were sung by the Israelites as they journeyed to Jerusalem, especially to keep the three pilgrimage feasts. Exodus 34, verse 24. It says, Exodus 34, verse 24. For I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. Neither will any man covet your land. When? When you go up, ascend, to appear before the Lord your God three times in the year, the three pilgrimage feasts. Nobody is going to covet your land when you go up, when you ascend to appear before God. Now, Jerusalem is one of the highest cities in Israel. And as the Israelites went to keep the feast, they literally went up. They ascended from wherever they were in Israel. You can remember Jesus Christ when he was 12. He was living with his parents in Nazareth, about 90 miles north of Jerusalem. But as Luke says, when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem. So we're talking about Jerusalem is what you will go up two in order to keep the feast. Now go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Psalm 42 is the beginning of the second book of Psalms. There are five books of Psalms that parallel the five books of the law. The second one starts in Psalm 42, going to Psalm 72. Psalm 42, beginning with verse 1. It says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Why? Verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? They keep asking me this, and it has caused me to be down, caused me to even reach depression. Drop down, verse 5. It says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And then verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. The three. Passover, the first one, which includes Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Second one being the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. And it's the third one. We consider it the granddaddy of the festivals. Feast of Tabernacles, which starts with the Feast of Trumpets, then the Day of Atonement, then the Feast of Tabernacles, and the eighth day. I want to read verses 5 and 4 in the Message translation, or summarize. It says this, the Message, verse 5. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon, I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. Verse 4 says, these are the things I go over and over, emptying out the pockets of my life. I was always at the head of the worshiping crowd, right out in front, leading them all, eager to arrive and worship, shouting praises, singing thanksgiving, celebrating, all of us, God's feast. What a festival occasion it is. We think how joyous it is to be. That's how God considered it. They came from all around Israel and beyond. Those are the diaspora, the Jews. They came to Jerusalem. It was a time of great joy. I think of the first one for me back in 1968. My mother and I, we had moved up to Indianapolis the previous year. And in 1968 was the first one. We were going from Indianapolis down to Big Sandy. And at said time, they would send you, Pasadena would send you feast bumper stickers. Green for those who are members. I think yellow for the ministry. And I think there was a red one for the handicap. And so in 58, we're going to Big Sandy. Put the bumper stickers on the bumper, front and rear bumper. My two half brothers up in Chicago, they decided to come on down and go with us. Because here, they get an opportunity to spend some time with Big Brother Arnold that they never really met. That I spent that much time with. So my mother, my father, my brothers, my wife, we weren't married as yet, but she went down with us. And we're on that trip. And amazing thing is you're making that long journey. Anytime you saw a car with a green bumper sticker on it, you're honking the horn, bom, 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 and you're waving. Hey, hey, and they're looking at yours and they're waving. And the closer you get to Big Sandy, the more bumper stickers you see, and the more excited you become, until you finally arrive to Big Sandy with 15,000 people. And everybody is just ecstatic to be there. This is what we can experience or get an idea of what the children of Israel and the Jews experienced back in the day with the three pilgrimage feasts. Go to Psalm 120. Psalm 120. Before these Psalms is the longest Psalm and chapter in the book and the Bible. Psalm 119 talks about the law. Then the section starts with Psalm 120. And it is a song of distress. Psalm 120, beginning with verse 1. It says, in my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Verse 5, woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Verse 6, my soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. As we look at it, and no doubt, I'm sure as they looked at it, the world was the reason for the distress. The world was the reason why the Spirit is gone down. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted within me? But the section here, even though it starts with stress, how does it end? Psalm 134, it says, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you. Bless you. How the spirits are lifted at the feast, especially that opening night, because we have arrived out of Meshach, out of war-torn world, out of stress. And so what the psalm is saying, now that you are there, bless God. Bless him. Over to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 29. You don't want to turn there. I'm going to read this out of the NIV. But Isaiah 30, verse 29. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 29, NIV. It says, and you will sing. It's on the night you celebrate a holy festival. Your hearts will rejoice as when people go up. You look at that expression, it occurs over 130 times in the Bible. In the New Testament, it primarily talks about going up to Jerusalem. Many of the times in the Old Testament, we're talking about also going up to Jerusalem for the festival. When people go up with flutes to the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. So these psalms have been called the pilgrim psalms, as they went up. And figuratively, we go up. They went up to get closer to God, to learn more about God. We go to get closer to God, to learn more about God. And realizing that we are pilgrims in Meshach. We are pilgrims in this world. This world is not home. There is something better awaiting us. And you know, that same attitude surfaces in the millennium. One of the scriptures that we have a tendency to read on a regular basis is Isaiah chapter 2. The first four verses, but I bring out verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 2. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his way, and we will walk in his paths, in his ways. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. They go up higher pitch. The point is that when these songs were sung in the temple, the Levitical chorus, as they progress through these songs, they would sing them in a higher key, higher pitch. You may recall the hymnal we used in, and they still use it, in United Church of God, UCG. We received our own copies of the hymnal, and there were also CDs that were sent out as well. Several of the songs that the pianist would play on even the CD, they would change the key on the last stanza. Change the key. One of those was Onward Christian Soldiers. We don't have it in ours, but you may recall with Onward Christian Soldiers, it starts off with a B flat. I got my pitch meter here. Give you an idea. B flat. That's how the melody line starts off. Onward, Krish. That's B flat. But the last stanza, it moves up a half step to B. Onward, Krish. And so people were complaining because it's too high to sing. So they would automatically drop it down an octave. Because people didn't have the vocal range like some of the singers. Minnie Riperton, the late Minnie Riperton, Loving You, when she sang that aria at the end, and she's off the chain. 5-octave range. Mariah Carey, 5-octave range. On the male side, the late James Brown, even though he was screeching, he had a 4-octave range. Earth, Wind, and Fire, Philip Bailey, 4 octaves. They get up there and sing some of those notes? Can't do that. Because so many people mentioned that the music was so high, I remember when we moved from Maryland down here to Florida to West Palm. We had 2 pianists in the West Palm congregation. One could read the music, the other one was blind, and so she could play all of the hymns, but the music was actually transposed. She could play the melody line, but she is not transposing the bass line. I sing bass line, so I'm trying to figure my way on the bass line with the music that she's transposed. Somebody has transposed for her, the person she was staying with. So I'm up here basically trying to sing it, sing the bass line while she's playing the melody. Now the people were enjoying it because it's in a lower register, lower pitch. But I'm singing down here, I'm trying to catch up with whatever this. And so low it is, I have to carry it up an octave because my range is not all of that great. But the point is, they sang these songs in the temple. Apparently, they changed keys. They changed pitch between some of the songs, if not all of the songs, to a higher pitch. Now, I don't know, most of you don't even have the hymnal with you. If you do, I want to go to where these songs appear in our hymnal. Our hymnal, Church of God Worldwide Association. There are only 9 that we have in the hymnal. From page 102 to 110. Page 102 to 110. Just to go through those. The first 3 are based on Psalm 121. We don't start with 120. We start with 121. Familiar one. Dwight Armstrong, 102, To the Hills I Lift Mine Eyes. Mark Graham, 103, similar one, Unto the Hills I Lift My Eyes. Then Psalm 104 from 121. It's not the only place it is from. Be Not Afraid, My People. These first 3, based on Psalm 121. Then on page 105, it's based on Psalm 122. With joy I heard my friends exclaim. Not sung that often. But you look at the scriptural references to the psalm. Psalm 122 verses 1 to 9. Isaiah 2:3. Jeremiah 3:17. Micah 4:2. It's based on the Feast of Tabernacles. Based on the Feast of Tabernacles. With joy I heard my friends exclaim. Then it jumps into page 106, Unless the Lord Shall Build the House, Psalm 127 and 128. And then the next one, Blessed and Happy Is He, Psalm 128. So 2 are based in those 2 sections right there. Then finally, we've got 3 on Psalm 133. Psalm 133, Hymn of Unity, page 108. Behold How Good It Is, page 109. And How Good and How Pleasant. Page 110, 2 of the popular songs from this section. But we only have in our hymnal 5 of these psalms put to music. There were 15. There were 15 of them. But this is one of the interpretations. You sing it in a higher key. You sing these songs in a higher pitch. The most frequent meaning of go up as it pertains to the Levites is one that relates to the 15 steps in the temple. Steps between the court of the women to the court of the Israelites in the temple. The temple compound was divided into different courts. The outer court was the court of the Gentiles. After that, you get to the court of the women, then the court of the Israelites, the court of the Levites. Walls were separating these courts. And what they had were 15 steps from the court of the women to the court of the Israelites. Each step, according to one interpretation, corresponds to one of the psalms in Psalm 120 to 134. And they were sung at the 3 pilgrimage feasts, but primarily primarily during the fall festival season. This is from the Mishnah, oral traditions of the Jews, oral commentary, which came out in the 2nd century AD. In the section dealing with measurements, Mishnah Middoth 2.5. If you want to look it up, Middoth, M-I-D-D-O-T-H, 2.5. It says, 15 steps led up from within it, that is the court of the women, to the court of the Israelites, corresponding to the 15 songs of ascents in the Psalms. And upon them, the Levites used to sing. They are singing these songs. Then in Mishnah, Sukkah, the Hebrew word for tabernacle, Sukkah 5.4, Mishnah, Sukkah 5.4, pious and distinguished men danced before the people with lighted flambeau or torches in their hands and sang hymns and lauds, L-A-U-D-S, before them. And the Levites accompanied them with harps, psalteries, cymbals, numberless musical instruments. On the 15 steps which led into the women's court, going down, corresponding with the 15 steps of degrees, stood the Levites with their musical instruments and sang. What a sound. What a sound that must have been to hear the Levites singing these songs. I mean, you can just put chills probably up and down your spine. We were in Chicago for 8 years. Our designated site was Wisconsin Dells. Wisconsin Dells had an orchestra choir that would rival Pasadena. We had over 100 instruments and about 300 singing in the choir. It was just phenomenal. It was just fun. The only time when I started going up to Wisconsin Dells, I only led songs. I never spoke until I think just before the year I left. But then I would lead songs, and there was one time I did not listen to them because we had a section over there that dealt with the deaf. It was a deaf section. I learned "Blessed and Happy is the Man" in that first stanza in sign language. And I was able then to sign while the choir behind me was singing and the orchestra was playing. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. I don't even know, the deaf couldn't hear it because they were doing that so much. I realized that it had touched them. And that's what happens with these songs. As they're sung, it raises the spirit. It raises the whole attitude that Meshach, the world, that's behind us. And there may even be some prophetic significance here, because in the temple of Ezekiel in the millennium, there are a total of 15 steps from the outer court to the inner court. And it could be a matter of now you're coming from out of the world into the presence of God in Ezekiel chapter 40. No one knows for sure how or specifically when these songs were sung. One speculation that I have never been able to prove, and this is the one that I've used through the years: sing a song each day and for the third pilgrimage festival season, starting with the Feast of Trumpets and ending with the Feast of Tabernacles. Each day, first Psalm, Psalm 120, sung on the Feast of Trumpets. Psalm 121, Tishri 2, sung the day after the Feast of Trumpets. And you go all the way through until you finish all of them in Tishri 15, Psalm 134. And your desire heightens, it increases, it gets more joyous as you get closer and closer, not just to the Feast of Tabernacles, but for what it portrays the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. That we are getting closer. We're moving further away from the world. We're getting closer to the kingdom of God. Again, if you have a Bible, I want you to go over here to this section as well. I'm going to just look at the subheadings for it. Subheadings and the authors of these songs. Psalm 120. It says a song of ascents. I'm using the New King James. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. Psalm 122, a song of ascents of David. Psalm 123, a song of ascents. Psalm 124, a song of ascents of David. Psalm 125, a song of ascents. Psalm 126, a song of ascents. Psalm 127, a song of ascents of Solomon. Psalm 128, a song of ascents. Psalm 129, a song of ascents. Psalm 130, a song of ascents. Psalm 131, a song of ascents of David. Psalm 132, a song of ascents. Psalm 133, a song of ascents of David. Psalm 134, a song of ascents. There are five of these songs in which the author is listed. David authored Psalm 122, 124, 131, and 133. His son Solomon authored 127. 10 of these do not have an author listed. They're the 10 unknown songs of degrees. Song of ascents. Who authored them? Who authored these unknown psalms? Most likely King Hezekiah. That he added not only books, proverbs to the book of Proverbs, he wrote songs. He did write songs. And when you understand what he went through and the context of some of these songs, you make a connection between the two. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. Start with verse 9. Isaiah chapter 38, beginning with verse 9. Isaiah 38, verse 9. It says, this is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. Yeah, I mentioned here at the beginning, you know, we're going through a lot of medical issues, sicknesses, even death. This was the case even with Hezekiah. At the tender age of 39, a lot of us look at him as a baby. 39, he's on the verge of dying. He then recounts events in his life, beginning in verse 10. I drop down to verse 19. He says, the living man, he shall praise you as I do this day. The father shall make known your truth to the children. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs with stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Now, Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and apply it as a poultice on the boil, and he shall recover. And Hezekiah had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Hezekiah wrote songs. We don't know which, because his name is not attached to any of them in the book of Psalms. However, there seems to be a connection with the songs of degrees, a connection. Another point is that the only other place in the King James where the word degrees occurs, it's in reference to Hezekiah. Hezekiah, Isaiah 38, 2 Kings, chapter 20. Notice over in 2 Kings chapter 20, Isaiah 38, and there is a parallel between the two sections. Isaiah chapter 38 and 2 Kings 20, I'm going to read it from 2 Kings chapter 20. He is sick, the beginning of the chapter. He's going to have 15 years added to his life. 2 Kings chapter 20, beginning with verse 8. It says, "And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, 'What is the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day?' Then Isaiah said, 'This is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backwards 10 degrees?' And Hezekiah answered, 'It is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, but let the shadow go backwards 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz." Ahaz, Hezekiah's father, factors into when I deal with the background of Hezekiah and what he was like with even his own father. The only other place where this term degrees is used is in reference to Psalm 120 to 134. And then look at it. There are 10 unknown songs of degrees or ascents. The shadow went back 10 degrees. And there are a total of 15 songs of degrees or ascents. Hezekiah had a total of 15 years added to his life. On the basis of this information that you put together in scripture, many commentators believe Hezekiah is the most likely author of those 10 unknown songs of degrees. And the songs were to be sung in worship to God. The content of the Psalms, though, deal with more than just his sickness. Primarily, it is the attack by the Assyrians on the Jews, which we will detail in the future. When God delivered them, they were extremely relieved and happy. And that relief segues into Hezekiah's sickness. Because after that relief, he is now on the verge of death. In 2 Kings 20, God added 15 years to his life, so he is ecstatic. He is happy that he was healed. We too now look at the relief. As we live in this world that is fraught with problems, and even we ourselves personally, all of us most likely, are going through something. Relief is coming. And we picture that with the fall festival season as we get a step closer and closer and closer to the fulfillment of the fall festivals, the millennium, the kingdom of God. Look at the overview. We just read through these as we go through this in overview form. Let's go back to Psalm 120. I'll give a title that I have for these songs. I might change it by the time I get to them, but I'm going to give the one that I have here. Starting with Psalm 120, as a theme, God renders judgment. God renders judgment. There is a subtitle here, and it is the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. As it says, in my distress. Why? Most likely due to the Assyrian attack. It says, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. We'll see that when we get to it in part 4. What shall be given to you? Or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with coals of the broom tree. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech. I dwell among the tents of Kedar. You're going to deliver me from it. We're living in a world that is spiraling further and further out of control. You think it would be a great time for the world as the world comes together for FIFA, the World Cup. Great experience that it was had, even here in the United States, where the number one sport for us is football, American football. But I tell you, all over this country, folks were ecstatic about soccer football. And the championship, the champions being Spain. And here's a young boy, I have to call him a boy, Lamine Yamal, 19. He's on the cusp of becoming the greatest in the future of football. They return home to Spain, and he heard the comments. He heard the mockery. You are not Spanish. You see, his father is from Morocco. His mother's from Guinea. You are not Spanish. It's almost like, go home. I'm thinking, what if this boy played for another team? What if he played for another team? Would you have won, even gotten this far? I mean, Spain was a great team. No question at all about it on the pitch. They shut down everybody, only allowed one goal. So it was fantastic. But I was amazed and I admired the 19-year-old for the approach that he took. He was above the fray. And I appreciate that. Because so often you want to strike back. You want to strike back because we got bigotry rising all over the place. You dwell in a world and it makes you want to pray that much more. Thy kingdom come. Well, the fall festivals portray that time. You're not going to have that. It's not going to show up. As it goes on, it says in verse 6, my soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace. But when I speak, they are for war. Feast of Trumpets will be the war to end all wars. It wasn't World War I. It wasn't World War II. But when Jesus Christ returns with the sword in his mouth, he's putting down war. Psalm 121. Powerful, powerful message. God is our keeper. God is our keeper. We could spend a couple of messages just on this one, but we'll only deal with one. It says, verse 1, Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from, not the world. My help comes from, not even so much in the long term, medication. Not even, quote unquote, revenge I might want to have. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And this is part of Hezekiah's prayer in 2 Kings 19. Verse 3, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you, he doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. No, it was years ago I gave a sermon. I don't even deal with it that much because it has become part of the whole fabric of Christianity with Cain mentioned in Genesis chapter 4, am I my brother's keeper? And folks will castigate him for making that comment. When you study this term keeper, my brother is not my keeper. My brother is my helper. The keeper is God. When you look at that word, the keeper is God. The Lord is my keeper. As it says there. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Verse 6, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God will protect us even while we go to the feast. And as we deal with this particular chapter, as my mind just goes back to the Feast of Tabernacles out west, when we'll go up to Squaw Valley and the Bachelor College campus is just left vacant for the most part, except for a skeletal crew. Satan knows that. He knew that. But who is keeping it? The skeletal crew? God will protect us when we go to the feast and on our way to the kingdom of God. That's my protector. He is my keeper. This world is full of trouble. This world is full of war. Even our lives are plagued day after day after day. Be it at the job, be it at school, be it at home. But then we start that ascent. We're going not just to the temple, we're going to the feast as the desire heightens. Psalm 122, God is our peace. Psalm 122, God is our peace. It says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's what Hezekiah wanted to do. He certainly was glad when he got into the feast because God had given him peace. Verse 2, our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Foretype of the millennium and fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 2. But not only Isaiah chapter 2 with the millennium, foretype of New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. Verse 4, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment. The thrones of the house of David, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say peace be within you. That is a desire. That is a desire, been a desire over in Israel for the longest of times. Even today, they may take the wrong approach even today to trying to bring about that peace. The point is, God is the one. God is the one. And this is the theme of the world tomorrow. Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, he was going to be attacked by a confederacy in the book of Isaiah. And God sent Isaiah to him. And ask for a sign. That's something you look for. I want to see a sign. The same thing with Hezekiah's son. I want to see a sign. Ahaz says, I'm not going to be that bold to ask for a sign. So a sign was given. And the sign spanned from Isaiah chapter 7 to chapter 12. All that length, 6 chapters. We're dealing with the sign given to Ahaz. Incorporated in it is Jesus Christ. Virgin is going to be born. Jesus Christ. And here it is in chapter 9 of Isaiah. It mentions about Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Peace will prevail as they beat swords into plowshares. Been watching here lately in the History Channel, World War II. Amazing, God had to intervene because the world was on the cusp of hegemony by Germany primarily. It's amazing, amazing how at the end of it, we figure that now there's going to be peace. Where are we now? As a world, where are we? Do we beat swords into plowshares? No. But we go. We go up. We ascend to portray a time when God will bring peace. He is our peace now. He will be peace for the world when Christ returns. Psalm 123. And this one was definitely going to be a sermon, as well as Psalm 124, 25, and 26, and I've combined all four of them into one. I'm trying to keep it as one sermon, but this definitely is one. Psalm 123 theme is God must be our focus. God must be our focus. In the midst of all of Meshech and Kedar and a world, God must be our focus. Psalm 123, verse 1, says, unto you I lift up my eyes. O you who dwell in the heavens, you're enthroned there. Behold, as the eyes of the servant look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of the maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. Where is our focus? It must be on God as we live in this world that is growing more and more anti-God. You can see the clouds hovering as Satan does his best to separate man from God. He's doing an awesome job, but that impacts us as well. Where is our focus? We can get sidetracked with what's going on. Where, though, should our focus be? Verse 3, have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. That was the case for Hezekiah and the Jews. They were filled with contempt of the Assyrians. God took care of it. Now for us, Satan is doing his best trying to wipe us out. He destroys, be it emotionally, be it mentally, be it spiritually, whatever it is, he is trying his best to destroy us. But we must realize that our primary focus must be on God. So we go to the feast. We go to the feast to strengthen that focus, to return home to face the adversary once again. 124, God is our deliverer. Psalm 124, God is our deliverer. If he is our focus, he will deliver. Verse 1, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, there's a repetition throughout these Psalms, a phrase that is repeated. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, the world would overwhelm us. The world would overwhelm us. But if God is for you, who can be against you? The world can rise up. Doesn't matter. But if God is for me, and that's the key, how do I know he is for me? That's what I have to keep in mind. He is. He is. And deliverance will be coming. 3, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Verse 8 of 124, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Proverbs says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. We'll deal with those covenant names again, as it is attached to the covenant God established with Israel, and it certainly applies to us, but we have a covenant that we've established with God at baptism. And because of that, if I believe that, God will deliver. And because of that, Psalm 125, trust in God. Psalm 125, trust in God. Those who trust in the Lord, verse 1, are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Jerusalem was surrounded by hills. Notice as verse 2 says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. Jerusalem, it's on a hill, but it's surrounded by hills. It was in the time of David and even the time of Hezekiah. During the Seleucid era, in the Maccabean era, they started raising mountains to a level below even Jerusalem. But it's signifying something here. The mountains surround Jerusalem. The Lord surrounds his people. He is there. He ain't gone nowhere. He is here. He is here. He is here. He is here. He ain't going nowhere. Unless we tell him, bye. As it goes on, then, verse 3. For the scepter of the wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hand to iniquity. It is easy to do in this world. Satan is doing his best to lure us into it. But that rule of the wicked will not continue. It will end. And that's the meaning behind the festivals, isn't it? Psalm 126, God gives freedom. God gives freedom. When the Lord, verse 1, brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. See, the Jews didn't realize God was doing something, even with the Assyrian attack. He could even stop the Assyrians from coming into Judah, but he didn't. They were ecstatic, but then the world understood God was doing a great thing when he even wiped out the Assyrians and he never recovered. Verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Verse 5, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The old country singing a religious song, bringing in the sheaves. Great time of the future. This is the joy of being brought out of captivity. This is the joy being brought out of a trial. And how excited will we be when we are released from this flesh? When it is over. Physical ailments over. Disease over. And for us, death over. This is what we go to portray. What we go to portray. Psalm 127. We're nothing without God. We're nothing without God. Very important message. Because of Hezekiah. After he was healed, fathered one of the worst kings in all of Judah's history, Manasseh. So something happened to him. Psalm 127, Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and sit up late. Eat the bread of sorrow, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage From whom? Parents? No, from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Now you've got a task before you like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are children of one's youth. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies at the gate, because they're pointed in the direction. They're pointed in the direction that I'm going. They're going to walk the way that I walk. Ain't that great? That's why we have it as a family feast. We want to pass down what is happening to us to them so that they can understand. They must focus on God. Psalm 128, fear God. Fear God. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion. And may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Verse 6, yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. See the joy of Zechariah chapter 8. That's what we want. That's what we want for our children, our grandchildren, our great. We want to see that passed on generation. But they must learn to focus on God. Psalm 129. Might end up retitling this, but I have it as Day of At-One-Ment. Day of At-One-Ment. Because this would have been sung on the basis of what I use for these particular songs on the 10th day of the 7th month. Verse 1, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, not only Assyrians, but for us, demons and Satan, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed. The plowers plow on my back. They made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous. He's cut in pieces the cord of the wicked. Prince of the power of the air, severed. Isn't it be great? You can see how he's inciting so much rebellion against the law of God today. Severed. Psalm 130, wait patiently for God. Psalm 130, wait patiently for God. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquity, ain't one of us going to be able to stand. No one. But verse 4, there is forgiveness with you. There's forgiveness with you. That you may be feared, you may be respected, you may be awed in our minds. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning, O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is chesed, mercy, premier word of the Old Testament. And with him is abundant redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. That's what we go to portray. That's what we go to look forward to. Psalm 131, humility before God. Humility before God. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child in my soul. Is my soul within me? O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth forever. It's coming. Redemption, deliverance, it's coming. God looks down on those who are humble and contrite. It's coming. And that leads more to Psalm 132, a desire to be with God. I focus on him. I must want to be with God. This longest of the Psalms, verses 7 to 9, it just says this: let us go into the tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place. You and the ark of your strength, let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. Will we hear that? One of the nice things about those large feasts, thinking back to Big Sandy with 15,000 of us under the tent, and the noise was voluminous. It was loud. Psalm 133, unity at God's feast. Unity at God's feast. It could be Feast Passover, Feast Pentecost, but primarily the granddaddy of the festivals, Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 1, behold, look at it. How good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Pause. Pause once you get there. Just look around. You are connected with the family of God, with the people of God. This is a time now that all of the barriers between us should be down. The problems of the world should be left behind. We are united at God's feast. So Psalm 134, bless God. Bless God. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 30, 29 in NIV, it mentions, and you will sing as on the night you celebrate a holy festival. Your heart will rejoice as when people go up with flutes to the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. That's what we should be doing opening night. Verse 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. We're there. We made it. So bless God. Be like the angels of Revelation. Bless God. We see the desire of Hezekiah. It grows. It increases. It heightens. As deliverance from the enemy of Assyria, from the deliverance of disease. When the deliverance occurs, he sets songs to music. We too see our desire intensify as we near the Feast of Tabernacles. But it should intensify that much more because we're getting closer to the world tomorrow and the kingdom of God. I will go through these songs in more detail starting in 3 weeks to help intensify that desire for the feast, not just physically, but to think of the meaning of these days. Right now we have feast fever and it's getting hotter and hotter. Let us also have kingdom of God fever as the temperature rises by degrees for the fulfillment of these upcoming fall festivals.